We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Eddie's Wall. We are filming here live on Facebook in the Transworld Snowboarding Studios in Carlsbad, California. This week, we have a pretty big week going for all of you guys viewing at home because it is the Transworld Snowboarding movie Insight world premiere this Wednesday in Encinitas, California at the La Paloma Theater. So, because it's the premiere, we are lucky enough to have a bunch of the athletes who are in the movie coming into town, cruising by the office. So, of course, we're going to sneak them in here for some Eddie's Walls episodes. So this week, tune in between now and Friday. We're going to have tons and tons of athletes on all different times during the day. Today, we are very excited because we have a very special guest coming all the way from Austria. Good day, mate. No, just kidding. coming from Austria, and it is, you know, you may have recognized this name from a lot of contests back in the day, you know, Aaron Style and big events like that. He had a third in China at the Aaron Style. And now he got into filming and he took over the film world pretty much by storm. And now this year he's landed himself on the cover of the Insight Coffee Table book. And please give a warm welcome to Elias Elhard. What's up, dude?
Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you. All right. Elias, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's been amazing the time that I had so far in California.
Yeah, so you are from Innsbruck, but you just made your way over here. How long have you been in the States?
I've arrived here last night, and actually I'm from Germany, but I live in Innsbruck.
Oh, okay.
It's so close together.
Okay.
The place I grew up is 2 hours driving from Innsbruck,
yeah,
but in Germany on the border.
Right.
And I arrived last night here in Los Angeles, gotten picked up, and now we're in a camper van, stayed next to the beach, and jumped into the sea first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And
so
it's been good.
Do you have jet lag yet?
No, it's all right.
No, it's not too bad.
It was really okay.
So you said you jumped in the water. Are you guys surfing out here?
Yeah.
So a lot of surfing in Germany?
Well, actually, yeah, there is.
Really?
Probably the most time I've ever spent in my life on my surfboard.
Yeah.
Was in Germany on the River Wave in Munich.
Oh, I was like, which ocean serious? Does Germany touch?
but I lived in Munich.
Yep.
And then on a session, you go surf to the river, you know, you just stay on that wave. And if there's no one, you just stay there forever.
Yeah.
Maybe stay 5 minutes. So
yeah,
it's tough to get 5 minutes on a big session.
Yeah, surfing. That's crazy.
Anyways, I love that too. It's a different kind of sport.
You know,
some people see it as the worst version of surfing. For sure, it doesn't come up to that. But I would just like to see it as a different sport.
Yeah.
It's nice, you know, you can really focus on turning a lot and just do the turns over and over again.
Yeah.
And you could do that at like 12, 1 in the night because we bring lights.
What?
And then you could do it in the night, and it's really special. I like that.
So if you get kicked off of that wave, do you just float down the river?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get out?
Well, you could climb out.
That's good.
But in the night, it's so great because you have all the lights and it's really like in the middle of the city.
Yeah. Is there just people all lined up watching and stuff?
Yeah, there's a few people.
Whoa.
But anyways, sometimes a bit more quiet. But then when you get kicked out and in the night, you just drift. And then there's all the lights and you're just drifting through the city. It's nice. I like it.
That is insane. Yeah.
I moved to Innsbruck. There's good things to be doing there too. But unfortunately, they don't have a wave.
Okay. So, cover of the new Insight Coffee Table book. Which, by the way, we definitely have to mention, you can go on transworld.com and buy a copy of this. It's an insane book. Just some of the best photos and behind-the-scenes shots from the whole entire filming season. How hyped were you to find out you had the cover shot?
Yeah, I was super hyped. Especially this moment, like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm stoked. Because actually, I like photo books, like I have a few photo books at home just from all kinds of things, and you know, you have those magazines which are nice, but you don't end up having them next to your couch so
for
much
long,
and
just
like
right.
for a long time.
Right.
Like this one I'll have in 4 years or so, and I'd be like,
Oh, nice. I'm going to watch some
some of the moments from this past season, and those are the best moments from that season, and it's so great to like have that captured and have it saved in that legit way, and so I'm stoked. And then the cover, it's nice. It's been a magic moment, you know. That light?
Yeah.
I don't know if they done even any Photoshop to it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was that orange.
This is an analog picture, and I know Jerome, he does some things in the studio, but like not very much. So the light wasn't actually like that.
Whoa.
So like, that was like just at sunset?
Yeah, it was sunset, and
was it kind of a bit foggy, or is that just kind of
the thing is that the clouds, they rolled up from
the
below,
valley. Yeah.
from the valley. And then we were like, fuck, we're not gonna make it, you know. And this is not really a big kicker. I just stumped down with the snowshoes a bit, and then we set everything up, and then the clouds rolled in, and we're like, oh fuck, should we do it all? But it turned out being such amazing light all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was a bit hard to see it
at
times, but it was just such a magic moment to have that session, and it was really a fun feature, and I hiked up it a couple of times and did a few things. It was really fun.
Sick. Hell yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we are here with, I would say like backcountry connoisseur, former competition guy, Elias Elhard. And we are just talking about the Insight movie. He just got done filming for it. And the premiere is coming up in Encinitas, down here in Carlsbad, at the La Paloma Theater. And if you are just tuning in live, please feel free to comment. We have some questions coming up on my computer, and we are happy to get those questions answered. So let's start back from when you were growing up. You grew up outside of, not in Innsbruck.
No. I actually grew up in the border or in the corner of like Austria, Switzerland, and Germany.
Okay.
But on the German side.
Yep.
Pretty much on the land side, in a house that's 4 kilometers to the next village.
Okay.
Small village. So the house was just like the universe for itself.
Right.
Lots of people living there. It's an old mill that my parents gotten like 30 years ago maybe and restored it and moved in with a few friends and it's a magic place that I love coming back to, and it's still like the center of my home base. Like now Innsbruck is my new home, but this is really like where home is.
Yeah. And so how far is Innsbruck from there?
2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Something like that.
And how long have you lived in Innsbruck? Like what made you make that move and that change?
So what I said, it's really nice, that little castle there or universe that I grew up in. But for sure, I knew I couldn't stay there like
forever.
Forever. I really wanted some more culture.
Yep.
Like studying, just being in the city.
Yeah.
I wanted like city life.
Yeah.
Especially because in the winter, I'm only, you know,
in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, which is great.
Yeah.
But then in the summer, I really appreciate going out and like getting new perspectives.
Yeah.
And then Innsbruck is the perfect combination out of the two worlds for me. Because, I lived in Munich before. I could imagine to live in Berlin, for example, for like the culture side of it, but it would just be so much too far from the mountains, and I want to always have that access to the mountains.
Yeah.
And I was looking for a place that I could actually snowboard in such a natural way, you know, like have it a part of my life.
Right.
Just be like, you know, I see the skateboard here. I love that about skateboarding. You just go out and in the park, and that's like how snowboarding comes in Innsbruck for me.
Yeah.
I just live there, and I just grab my board, go up in the afternoon a bit, or it's just so much a part of my life, and so I don't have to do that gap in between like, oh, this is like my summer life and you know, and this is like, no, this is who I am.
Right.
Innsbruck represents it quite well. So
So we've been doing the behind the scenes Insight movie videos and putting them up on our website and you know, hyping them up on Instagram and stuff, and you've had two of those, and the first one was about, you know, living in Innsbruck, and it actually starts off with you just hopping on a bicycle and biking from your house, like through this cool little city, and then just getting onto a tram and then going up and riding.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a pretty rare thing for a lot of people. Even if you live in like a mountain town, you generally don't like bicycle too.
Yeah,
that's
a funny thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, what's that all about? Like,
Generally, I love the bike.
Yeah.
I like love to just bike around in Innsbruck.
Yeah.
That's I leave the car usually throughout summer, and then I just get everywhere with the bike.
Yeah.
And then that's cool to like have that, keep that summer flow.
Yeah.
Because that we filmed that I think end of April or something, so already temperatures were getting up and so on. I'm stoked not to get in the car. Like I'm home and I just put the board on my backpack, and the tram is like a little bit on the hill,
yep.
But in the city. So I really just have to roll down to the tram,
yeah,
which goes up the hill again,
yeah.
To the station which takes us to the mountain.
Yep.
But that tram goes like for maybe 10 minutes, and then the lift, yeah, for another 15 minutes, and you're like in a sick resort.
Wow,
so you could be there so quick. It's insane, yeah.
And it's actually kind of cool too, because it's like you're getting like a nice little warm up before you get there. You know, warming up the knees, warming up the muscles a bit before you just start shredding.
I just like that. Like I said, it's not like, oh, I'm going snowboarding. This is gonna be like, oh, I have to dress like
you
go for a costume party or something. No, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
Snowboarding should be so natural.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that. I'm like, yeah, I've got everything I have, and.
Yeah.
I'm going riding, you know?
That is insane.
I like that.
So how did you, you know, growing up in that small little border of Germany, how'd you get into riding, and what age were you and everything?
So that village, it's called Oberstaufen. It's actually quite in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
not as big as in Innsbruck, but at the start of the Alps. And so it's a bit touristy. We got a few resorts, and I started skiing like super early just because everyone did. And I've been into that, but it was funny, like, I don't know at what age, maybe like 9 or 10. I've always like kind of just wanted to get away from the whole training thing because, you know, in the ski club and so on. But like, damn, this had not really been my world. It's funny, like now to look back and to already feel like, it wasn't really what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I would just wanted to jump around and
just
tread around and, I don't know, sing on the lifts and have a bit more freedom.
Yeah.
And then snowboarding came around for me somehow, like at that time it really gotten big at home.
Yeah.
And so like this was like, oh, this is it. This is representing my idea of it, or like I want to be a part of that. And so I started snowboarding and skateboarding, everything. And from there on, I think it was 11.
Yeah.
I would just go snowboard at home. Like I would come home from school and then build a kicker behind the house.
Yeah.
It's been good.
So, you know, we were talking a bit earlier, and you were talking about how you started with competitions, and you were kind of, in the beginning parts of your career, were a contest guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was that kind of different, or what was it like coming up in that scene, you know, and then moving on to getting into the film world?
Yeah. Well, so at the very start, I don't know, when I was 15 till like 18 or so, that's when I like gotten into the whole snowboard scene with contests and all, and got the first supporters, sponsors. So that was great. I loved that. That was amazing. And then it somehow went well, you know, and the contest was cool, or yeah, it just went well for me. And, but I already back then I felt like, oh, I wanted to like show more, you know, how I grew up. Like we didn't have a park really like close by where I grew up.
Yeah.
The next park was 45 minutes with a car, but anyways, always took the train. So like back then I was like 1.5 hours to get to the park. So often I would just ride the backcountry, and I really wanted to show that too. And then the first time I had the opportunity to do that was with Pirates when I was 21, I think. And so I like did contests in the early season, and then the filming there, and that worked really great. And then I actually straight got in the last part, which I was super hyped about. And I felt like, this is what I want to do. Like,
right.
The powder, and this is exactly what I want to do. And then the next two seasons were a bit difficult for me, because then I tried to combine both.
Right.
And then I got invited like the X Games and Aaron Styles, and all that was great, but then it was, I don't know, I didn't feel like it was so good to juggle both worlds, you know, so easily. And till a certain point, like I gotten hurt in the contest thing then, in the trainings ones at Aaron Style. And at that point I was like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. I like feel in every single cell in my body, like, I want to go out there in the backcountry and just show snowboarding, live snowboarding the way I love it. And that's why I kind of did that cut.
I know that a lot of riders, some riders kind of come to that point too, but it's also sometimes a difficult thing to balance with your sponsors. I mean, how did, when you said that to your sponsors or something, like, hey, I'm not going to go out and do X Games anymore, or I'm not going to go do Aaron Style, was that something that they were, you know, kind of nervous about, or were they excited for you to just get out and start filming?
Yeah, I actually always had a really good trust relationship with my sponsors. Like, cool. For example, Deluxe, I'm riding for them since 14 years.
Okay.
And they were mostly pretty stoked about what I wanted to do and trusted in me. And so, big thanks to, Nitro. They're really, like, most of my sponsors, they're really close by. Nitro, for example, they're 1.5 hours from Innsbruck.
Go
to the office.
And yeah.
So it's a different personal relationship. You know, they know how I struggle with dealing with both. And so they're hey, sure, go for it.
Focus on that.
And then same with Dakine. And Smith, so yeah, they've just been fully behind me, and it's been good since. And I think they don't regret it. I don't know if I could keep up. No, I couldn't for sure.
Yeah.
By now,
you
know, like, doing all these crazy new tricks, and I feel like now with the filming, it opens so much space for me to progress.
Yeah.
And I feel like, oh, every year, like, I can learn bits and pieces there, and I feel like I actually get better.
Yeah.
And I think it wouldn't be like that if I would still try to do, like, the craziest triples. Like, I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff so gnarly.
So, yeah, that's good. And now, like, I ride contests. I've gotten into, like, bank slalom.
That's
so good.
Bank slaloms are so fun.
So, like,
they're actually pretty gnarly, some of them, I think.
Yeah,
they're,
like, my, I don't know, my perception or approach to contests has gotten a bit different, but I love it. Like, now, contests for me is a great way to catch up with all the people again.
Yeah.
After, you know, you're hiking around in the woods for, I don't know, a week or two or three.
Yeah, of
course. And you don't see many people, and then there you meet all the people, especially on those bank slaloms. It's such a great vibe.
Fun vibe, yeah.
So I like going to a few contests a year, but just a little different approach.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a couple questions here. Chris Gomez, Elias, do you ride a 159 for any and everything? Or, like, do you always ride a 159, or do you vary?
Yeah, actually I do.
You only ride a 159?
Yeah, I only ride that one
how
board.
How did Chris Gomez, how did he know this?
Do you I don't know, maybe he knows that I got this pro model with Nitro.
Yeah.
Uber Spoon. It's actually the Uber Spoon, but I always get to do the design with my roommate. We really get creative, and I like it.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's that one board that I worked on with Nitro for a few years now, and I'm really hyped on it. And my idea of snowboarding is I want to do everything. I want to ride everything that comes in front of my nose and just play with it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And, like, I want to get up the mountain and feel like that. I want to be ready
for
everything. And as long as, I mean, of course, in surfing, there's a certain stage where you can't have the same board for every wave. Okay.
Right.
But I think in snowboarding, we can do that. And I ride the park with that. I ride sometimes rails. Don't ride so many rails anymore, but also jibbing. And then backcountry, blinds in Alaska, whatever. And it's just that one board, and I feel so good with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like home, you know? You don't, It's like, maybe when I talk about snowboarding, I always feel like, this is home, you know, this feels like home.
And
it's also good if you have, like, one home, you know.
Exactly.
It's not like, this is like, that's my board.
Yeah. You're like, I have this home for sleeping, I have this home for
lunch. It's like
that's true. That's a good
everything I go through in snowboarding is with that board. And I just constantly change it with Nitro and make it better.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more questions here. Simone Fabasiak. Hi, what's up with Eisen 7? Eisen 7?
Yeah, what's up with Eisen 7, right? Yeah, they were really good. So they were actually more from the Munich crew.
Yep.
I grew up a bit outside of Munich. And a very good friend of mine, Marco Smola.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember it, but
yeah,
he's one of my absolute best friends.
Yeah.
He used to film with them, so I know them pretty good. But now I think they've gotten pretty creative in all kinds of directions. Like, the guys make editing the movie. Like, I don't know, Felix, he's doing like advertisings and music videos and so on. But yeah, so the guys that made it, they're off to like other adventures.
Yeah.
And the writers, like Marco, he's studying physics. I just visited him in Chile.
Whoa, crazy.
So anyways, he also found a different route. And I think they just disappeared in a way.
Cool.
But a lot of the guys are still with Pleasure.
Yeah.
And Pleasure is still full on, so.
Right. Okay. Chris Truslow, do you think the internet has helped European writers get more exposure globally than in the past?
I don't know. Like, I've been filming with Gigi a lot,
mm-hmm.
and Gigi has gotten a lot of exposure, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, that is actually a good point. Maybe, you know, Gigi like has gone through the regular media.
Right.
Like, he's come over here
yeah.
and filmed for American production, and then he's gotten a name over here.
Right.
While now, maybe through social media or, like, through all the
YouTube
web and, yeah, you could film, like, not get out of your house and kind of...
Right.
Or not get out of your town, let's
right.
put it this way, and then be known everywhere if it's good enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that works. But I don't know. In the end of the day, it's also about, like, being a part of it. Like, now I'm here with Transworld. Like, I was filming for Inside a lot at home, but with people from all over the world. And I think that really makes a difference.
Right, right.
You can't just stay in your little corner. Like, even if you're, like, I love to film at home.
Right.
But just connecting with all the people, it's just such a small world, the snowboard world.
Yeah.
So it's really, at some point, you're really, like, connected.
And yeah.
So I think that's really still important, although the media is, there's different options now.
Peter Rossner, would you start with contests again? Like, I'm guessing if you had to maybe become a pro snowboarder now, would you start with contests again, or would you like choose a different path looking back? Like, would you, like now if you were a kid coming up, would you start doing contests, or would you just try to film video parts maybe?
No, I'm happy about what it was.
Yeah.
It's funny. You can never think yourself differently. Like, regretting is a weird thing to do. Like,
right.
even I regret often, but like in a bigger scale,
right.
you know, you're like, whoa, I'm who I am and I'm all right with who I am.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that's like the baseline, you know, to so many things. And I think for snowboarding, I'm happy about like all those experiences I've had in the contest riding thing. Like,
yeah.
I remember one final, it was in Beijing, you know, with Mikkel and all those guys in the lift, and I was like, damn, this is so fun, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, lots of good moments,
yeah.
and I wouldn't want to miss, so I'm happy about this, but also I'm happy that I've kind of, like, seen it, done it, and then move on and now do different contests, you know?
Yeah.
Which, again, bring me some pleasure, and it's good. I like the idea that you don't always stay the same.
Yeah.
What is it all for if you're always in the treat meal?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Right?
Let's see, another question. What is the story behind Positivity Camp and how to get there?
Positivity Camp, such a special place. I love it. Actually, the father of my niece and the boyfriend of my sister, he's created it with a couple of friends in Italy. His name is Marino. Hopefully he's watching. And it's so good. Like, I want to go there every year.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of did the past couple of years anyways. You drive into this one lonesome valley in Italy, like an hour or so.
Yeah.
Till the very end of that valley. There you drop, you leave your car, you hike up like for 3 hours, sometimes six. Because like, I always miss the lift.
Yeah.
Like, all those years, I've never caught the lift. It's always at a certain time, but
yeah.
this year I was like going there, but then we ended up on the way jumping into the lake and so on, and then we came really late, and then we walked the night up, and then with the whole snowboarding gear, it's quite long. It's
yeah.
like 1,500 meters of altitude.
Okay.
So that's a proper hike,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you arrive there on 3,000 meters. That's, I don't know.
9,000 feet? Yeah.
So it's pretty high, and you're staying in the hut there. And they just got that private lift that runs for 2 weeks.
Wow.
A year. 2 weeks a year.
A year.
That's it. Yeah, they got the lift there. It's a Glacier or you know, like, and then you just, there's no other access than hiking. Whoa. So you just stay there, and I like it.
Wow, that is.
I got a lot of books and just stay yeah. there, snowboard. And that's the natural approach that I talked about before. I don't know, I stay there. We have lunch, lots of wine always.
Yeah.
You know, good food. And then you like, maybe the lunch isn't done yet, and you just go out, take a few runs through the course we have next to the house always.
Yeah.
So do you like bike park hits?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just like yeah. really steep hits. And so it's really good. I like that place.
Hell yeah. Well, let's talk about real quick the, you know, filming for Insight. So you said you were filming at home. I feel like a lot of you were filming in Europe, and then obviously you do your big trip to Alaska every year.
Yeah.
So in Europe, you're filming, you filmed a lot in, we were talking about this earlier, Arlberg.
Yeah.
Arlberg, Austria.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was not an Austrian accent at all.
Yeah, like I said before, it's weird because I'm always with so many Americans that I start pronouncing it Arlberg too. Arlberg, like yeah. in my episode, I realized, oh, I'm saying Arlberg.
Yeah.
It's actually called Arlberg.
Yeah,
like,
Arlberg.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, one thing about filming in backcountry in Europe is that there are no snowmobiles. So, I mean, how have you filmed with snowmobiling and not snowmobiling, or have you always just hiked?
No, I've actually done one season with Marco.
Yeah,
as talked about before, filming for people
yep.
in Whistler.
Yeah. So, what is your kind of difference? Your thoughts on film, like filming with a snowmobile and with hiking?
Well, it was great, that adventure with him, like
right.
with one of my best friends. Just yeah, getting to know this world. It was really good. But at the end, I felt like I was, a big part of it was snowmobiling, you know? You were
right.
like snowmobiling and you had your
snowboard
with you for just in case you get up.
Yeah, that's true.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Could happen sometimes. It actually did sometimes after a while, but yeah. we got stuck so much.
Yeah, that's true.
So it just felt like more like snowmobiling, and I actually started missing snowboarding, like the natural snowboarding, the kind of snowboarding you do when no one sees it.
Right. Right.
The snowboarding which you do coming to a spot or going from a spot. That's
right.
what I love the best.
Yeah.
Like for me, often the best moments of last season or of all those seasons that I've filmed at home are like the last run.
Right. No just one, cruising down.
Yeah, no one watches. It's just
yeah.
just you and I don't know, it's been a good day and
yeah.
you just cruise down and it's so worth so much
yeah.
to like have that time of just natural snowboarding. And I don't mean natural in a sense of like untracked
right.
places, but like just yeah, that's it.
Real,
you're
yeah.
snowboarding, you're like
yeah, no pressure.
Take a few laps. Maybe sometimes it's a really good day and you're like, hey guys, should we actually take a few laps before we start filming?
Yeah.
And we do that and that's totally possible.
Yeah, and I think that's really important too, because a lot of
yeah.
times you get caught up, and I was gonna mention this too, because you kind of mentioned in your second Insight movie that is online about Alaska, about you know, trying to balance you know, riding for a living and being a professional snowboarder, but not having it become this crazy job. Where even though I think for some people watching, it's hard to imagine like not liking snowboarding or not liking going to these amazing locations, but when you are doing it day in and day out, and it's only about the filming and only about the photos, and everything you do is really scary or nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I think it starts to wear on you if you don't
yeah.
actually go out and just have some fun with
yeah.
no cameras and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, like, so how do you balance it? Are you able to, like you said, do you guys take a few fun runs here and there? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. For me, it just works this way.
Yeah.
Really, like, if I don't feel it, when I don't feel, like, good with what I do and
yeah.
feel connected, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So for me, that's the base of it. Like, to be passionate when snowboarding. If I don't feel that, I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Really. Like, so that's always so important for me to keep that space as well.
Yeah.
Like space in every scale. Like for example, I started studying
yeah.
in the summers now.
Yeah.
So I'm super hyped when the winter starts.
Right.
That's a bigger scale.
Yeah.
In a smaller scale, on a day filming, yeah, I take a few runs for myself. Like, of course, when you're like fully in the filming process, you want to straight get to the spot and get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really cool too. But when you start losing it, you're like, hey, I'm going to take a few runs for myself. And so I think for me, it's always that process of like being in there, being fully committed to like doing something extraordinary, maybe performing and so on. That's good. That's great. It has its time, but it always needs that other time too.
Okay.
Like away from it and yeah, just riding for yourself or yeah. So it's always that balance.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, we're here with Elias Elhard, one of the riders in the Transworld Snowboarding Insight movie that is having their world premiere this Wednesday in Encinitas, California. A couple questions here. Feel free to comment in. We'll get your questions answered. David Blackwell, what do you want to do when you're an old man?
That's a good question, actually. I've just had a test, an exam in university. It's called Gerontopsychologie.
Okay.
And it's the...
They're like, all you have to do is spell this and you get a job.
It's the psychology about like aging and older people.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting seeing like how are they doing, like lots of statistics and so on. But like, so I've gotten a bit more in that perspective. Like, how is it going to be?
Yeah.
So good question. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I've feel like moving is such an essential part of my life in whatever way, like whether it be skateboarding, surfing, jumping around, whatever. I'd love to keep doing that in some way. Of course, I'm not going to hit big kickers, whatever.
No, like, but yeah.
Maybe not even snowboarding, hopefully still, but like old, I still would like to move around, you know?
Yeah.
That makes me feel alive. So I'd like to do that. And well, I'd like to do something I could stand behind and see like a value in it and like contribute something. Maybe by then I'm already done working, but I don't know, have someone to share it with.
Yep.
There's lots of things. Big question, but I'm looking for it.
Stephen Maggio, what is your favorite European, or who is your favorite European rider?
Well, there's Nicholas and Gigi.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that I
grew
up like watching and now riding with.
Yeah.
It's they're just perfect representation of the snowboarding as I see it and as I love it. And yeah, those are the two guys.
Awesome. Natalie Crudell, where's the best powder trees combination? Like, where's the best pal you've ridden where there's good trees?
Oh, for bad weather, right?
Yeah.
Outback is pretty good.
Yeah.
They have because it's
good
home.
And they
but
have
you
good
know,
trees
you
there?
Always, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you got good trees there. But you always wet value home higher.
Right.
So
of
I
course.
Can't, I can only say for myself, like, I love being home and just sleeping there, going riding.
Yeah.
But then Japan is pretty insane.
Yeah. They,
of course.
Yeah.
Like, you always got the fresh snow and trees all over the place. Beautiful trees.
Yeah. Let's see. Nick Gibson, are there challenges in regards to visas and taxes working for U.S. companies coming from Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have to get a visa to come over here? Do you have to pay U.S. taxes? How does that all work?
Mm-hmm. Actually, the sponsoring is such a global thing. Like I said, Deluxe, they're in Austria, really close by.
Yeah. So you can get contracts through the European sides of the
companies.
Yeah.
Like, so the brands that I'm riding for, they're based all over. And then, yeah, it's a little complicated for my techs to, I'll just tell them where, like my, how do you say the girl that helps with the techs? In my case, that's a girl.
Yeah, like an accountant.
Accountant,
yeah.
So well, she does all that. It may be a little difficult or complicated, but she works it out and it's okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Chaz Truslow, what was the last video part that you watched that inspired your riding?
The Snowboarder movie just came out and I like that. I really like Louis.
Dude, Louis is gnarly.
Team buddy. And, he's awesome.
Cool.
I like that.
And, go ahead.
Yeah. Mikkel.
Yep.
Yeah. Really like watching Mikkel.
So,
this is just the most recent thing I just on the flight over.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, I've watched it.
Yeah. Nice. Peter Rossner, Travis Parker or Travis Rice?
Travis Rice. I love the approach of Travis Parker, but I mean, Travis Rice, that's maybe more who I grew up with.
Right.
Watching
looking up,
too.
Yep.
And just this confidence.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, every turn, how it suits. Like, there's no question, you know?
Yeah.
His riding, there's no question.
Right.
He just goes for it. Oh, I like that.
That's a great point. Sam Batar, triple cork or tweaked out method?
It always depends. Like, for me personally, I love the method.
Yeah.
It just feels so right.
Yeah.
I think the triple cork, I would probably be most hyped when I landed and I'm like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Like, getting this rush, but it's such a different feeling. It's,
yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe you haven't seen much in the air.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Maybe you've only seen, like, up, down, up, down, up, down. And you land and you're hyped because it's a triple cork, but yeah. It's not that, like, oh, yeah, I could stay there forever, but I have to land. Okay. It's a different feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, before we wrap up, I wanted to talk to you about filming in Alaska because, I mean, I think that's for everybody such, you know, kind of the mecca of the final place to go and kind of not conquer, but just that's where a lot of people, you know, are destined to go with their riding. You know, when was your first time there? And this season, what was the season like up there? I know a lot of people can wait around for weeks just to get some, like, two sunny days. What's your experience up in Alaska?
Everything's turned upside down, especially last season. We were staying in a camper for 4 weeks, maybe.
Whoa.
And then always moving around. So that's a good picture of how Alaska has been for me. You know, your house, where you center yourself, was always moving somewhere else.
Right.
Always something can happen. You're like, oh, it's getting blue this afternoon. Hey, guys, we're leaving. Is everyone here? Boom, we're going to the heli. And then you maybe a few minutes later, you're actually on a crazy face. And you're
right.
Like, all right, so I guess it's happening.
Yeah, you know.
So it's that tension. It's a lot of tension. And it's a lot of heartbeats. It's feeling alive. It's like, whew.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Jones one time, in an interview or video part, he was saying that he said, you know, you'll be sitting around Alaska, you know, for, you know, weeks on end, and it's just the most slow, boring, you're in the middle of nowhere, you might be just reading a book or sitting by a campfire, and then you wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, it's sunny, and the next minute you're on top of the craziest face you've ever been on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how do you deal with the, like, one thing I was wondering is, even when you're just kind of relaxing, because you said there's a lot of tension, I feel like even on the down days when you're relaxing, you just never quite know if the next day is the go day.
Like,
so you actually can't even really relax that much.
Yeah, it's weird. You ride so less, you know? You don't ride very much.
Right, right. Because it's,
but you don't really relax either. It's just like on that. But what's really important when we talk about Alaska that I want to point out is that Alaska is amazing and I love coming back to this place.
Yeah,
you know, it's really just perfect for filming because you can capture these amazing pictures you couldn't capture anywhere else in the world. Everything's packed in snow.
Yeah,
and you could actually use it as a park, like somewhere out in the wilderness.
Yeah,
but for like the snowboarding, and that's what, you know, what we all share as our passion, I don't think you need to go to Alaska.
Right.
I mean, Alaska is great to, like I said, to showcase one aspect of it.
Right.
But it's really, I want to really say that the moments that I enjoy the most almost is like just being home and just riding, like those regular days.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out because sometimes the focus comes to like, oh, everyone's like, oh, creating that dream. Everyone needs to be somewhere else than where they're at.
Right.
Why would we want to be somewhere else than where we're at? You know?
Yes.
Fuck, yeah, Alaska's good, and I'm stoked if we can create images that can stoke other people. But damn, it's so good to be in a home resort, too.
Yeah.
And, well, that's just to be said.
No, that's really funny, because we just posted an Instagram post the other day of Jason Robinson just doing, like, a laid-out backflip at his home resort in Montana.
Yeah. How good is that?
And we were like, yeah, you know, you can have helicopters and travel all around the world, but at the end of the day, usually your most fun is just kind of cruising around a resort with some friends, you know?
Yeah, and it's really different to also the filming experience, you know, where it's very suitable to filming because you anyways just do like those few moments a day where you're really focused on, and then you have these crazy pictures and you keep those moments for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Long.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're lapping and just treading and you're like, hey, I want to get up there. If I could, of course, I would want to lap those mountains in Alaska.
Yeah.
But somehow it turns out just being like a few runs a day and you're like, oh, it was good, but I want more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Vin Snow, what was your most fun trip? Maybe of this past season with Insight.
Yeah, most fun trip in general, it's hard.
Yeah.
Funnest trip with Insight. I think Japan.
Okay.
We just talked about Alaska. It was great. But, you know, Japan was maybe the opposite. Like, we went, we gotten up every day. Every day was good because it was bad weather.
Right, right, right.
Every day was snowy.
Yeah.
And I like that silence, just walking through the woods and just lots of snowboarding.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of snowboarding. Yeah, like your boot peg everywhere. And I don't know, it was a great way to get in the season with Victor Delarue.
Yeah.
And that was, I love that. As for a trip. And then I was home for 2 months,
and that's
which
it.
I was about to mention as a trip, but it's not really a trip. I stayed at my own place.
Yeah, right.
But that was really nice too. And then Alaska was good. So hard to always put some one thing over another one, but
yeah.
I enjoyed those 2 weeks of a constant rhythm and lots of snowboarding. And
yeah,
that was good.
Stefan Heckelman, what's your opinion comparing North American resorts such as Whistler compared to standard resorts in the Alps?
I think the biggest difference is, well, so you have the conditions that can be outstanding in North America.
Right, right.
Like, you hardly ever have that anywhere else. You don't have that anywhere else in the world. You can say that.
Right. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like those spines and all these things that even form in Whistler.
Yeah.
Like the snow just sticks to all those steep places and it's so much snow and it can get so good. I love it.
Yeah.
But then the access to it, that's the other thing. It's much easier in the Alps.
Right.
And it just feels like so much easier to actually get snowboarding and to catch powder to just shred for yourself. So as I grew up there, I really liked that approach a lot, you know? And it's just a lot more good weather too.
Yeah.
That's also a difference that I've realized, that you have like the best snowpack in the world for sure, but therefore also lots of snowstorms. While in Europe, sometimes in, I don't know, February, January, you have like a week or two sunny. Sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you just get to ride a lot.
Yeah.
So it's really, I can't say one thing's better, but I think for filming, North America is great, but just for snowboarding, for shredding, I love being home.
Okay. So, I mean, the premiere is coming up tomorrow for the Insight movie in Encinitas, California at La Paloma Theater, and followed by a really fun after party. So, I mean, how excited are you to finally see all the work that you've put in coming up on the big screen? Are you hyped?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
is there,
it's great.
Oh, is there any parts that you're excited to see? I mean, obviously besides your own, but is there?
Yeah, for sure. All the riders.
Yeah.
Especially the riders I was with, Jason.
Yep.
Jason Robinson. I love him.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
so cool. And then Victor Davier just as much. And so all the riders that I've been kind of part of, or that I've been hanging out with throughout the season, but maybe only a part, and then he's going to this other trip, and you're like, hey, hope, you know, how did he get it there? And so now you, it's like releasing all that, and it's cool to see.
Cool. All right, and then don't forget, this is the Insight movie official coffee table book. This is an amazing book. Elias here has the cover shot, and you can get this. You can also get stuff like this Mizu water bottle, maybe this t-shirt, stuff like that on the Transworld site. So if you want to get to any of that stuff, please head over to the site and look at it. The world premiere for Insight is this Wednesday at La Paloma Theater in Encinitas, California. And it is going to be unbelievable. Is that it? Everybody, we good? We good? You got a marker over here? Let's see. You got to sign the wall before you go.
Yeah.
Shake that up. And Elias Elhard, everybody, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And we'll see you on the big screen on Wednesday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's tomorrow. It's here.
It's tomorrow.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yep.
Oh, wait, I got it.
All right.
I'll... And. All right, thanks.
Yes,
we'll see you guys tomorrow. We have 3 episodes coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned. If you want to get notifications, click this little link in the corner right here. And we'll see you. Thank you so much for watching, and thank you for your questions. It would be way more boring without you. Take it easy.